As I was coming over, I was getting on the plane to come over, I said, Lord, what would you have me to minister on? I just wrote a wonderful series on what's love got to do, Oh, it's good. Glory to God. Tina Turner gonna buy it. I know she is. He said, you're going to a place of excellence, so we will deal with excellence. It's okay. I understand that. He said, let's go to a man who goes from a slave to next in line to the king. Who at 92 years old, God's still giving revelation to. Talking to kings. Changing governments. People are blessed because this man is in their presence. A Daniel of today. Now, why was he so blessed? Was it because of his talents? No. And yet he had many. Plus his three friends. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Whatever it was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whatever you want to call it. Now, one thing the world notices is excellence and how you do things. The sinner will pick up on it immediately, especially a sinner that's an entrepreneur. They'll see things that other people don't see because they look with different eyes. What they want to do is actually learn something, and they're stable enough and secure enough to let someone that may be lower than them teach them something. To give them an idea, an insight, or a concept that they can develop that that person may not be able to develop. Because you see, the whole key to, as I said earlier, is application. I don't care what you know. If you can't apply it, it won't work. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. So that's a pretty big corporation, which should be over the whole kingdom and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. Now, Daniel was a slave, a captive, brought to Babylon or to Iraq to be a slave, to serve, to do whatever his master told him. Just like Joseph, you do what I tell you. I don't care who you were before, you're nothing now. But yet he was first, that the princes might give accounts. There's always an accounting coming. Hebrews 11:2. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, which means somebody making a report on you. And when you stand before the Most High God, what will the report say? And this king says, I need an accounting of what I have. He's smart enough to see something that a lot of others can't see because they see you through the eyes of jealousy. I preached a sermon called The Green-Eyed Monster Whose Eyes Turn Red, talking about jealousy. The Bible said jealousy is crueler than the grave. But this man is not seeing him through jealousy. He's looking at him and saying, this boy got something. Yeah, but he's a slave. He's a Hebrew. I don't care who he is. I'm not talking about his talents. There's something in him that the princes might give a counsel to them, and the king should have no damage, or in other words, have problems. Then this Daniel was preferred, underline that in your Bible, preferred above the presidents and princes. Favor was on him. Now, why? Because he was good looking? Because he was short? Because he was tall? Because he was talented? No. Because an excellent spirit was in him. There's another place in the Bible where that Joshua and Caleb had excellent spirits. And those two went into the promised land. An excellent spirit will not only get you there, it'll get you out of there. It'll make the finish line the future instead of the now or the past. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king, now we're reading the mind of Darius, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, write this down. Promotion from God brings satanic attention. Okay? Which means this. As you grow in God, you get ready for some pot shots. And the first ones will come from within the organization usually you belong. Because the jealousy, the red-eyed, the green-eyed monster whose eyes turn red will show himself. But there's someone who's not jealous of you who sees that excellence in you. Has nothing to do with your age. Because Abraham didn't do his best till he was 100. 100 years old. Buddy, then I tell you, you talk about becoming a man of faith. Start having babies at 100. You know, that's a long time to wait to start a family. But he serves an El Shaddai. Elohim. Whoo, Lord. El Elyon. A Jehovah Jireh. A Jehovah Shammah. A Jehovah Tsidkenu. Why couldn't he just give himself one name? Because none of it fits. He's big. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king said, I got to get this guy over everything. He's thinking, this man is my man. But he's a slave. Who cares? Yeah, but you don't understand. We're better than him. He's not Babylonian. So that's not the issue. The issue is the king is thinking, how do I keep my kingdom from having damage? Have you ever thought if you're a minister of the gospel, if you're a minister of the gospel, lift your hand up. That you ever thought that God was looking at you and only called you for one reason, to stop the damage of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven on the earth. That he sees something you may not see, or maybe your church doesn't see, or maybe your friend doesn't see, but God sees. Now I want to deal with this excellence of spirit. What it produced in his life, what gave him his future. Now write this down, then I'm going to deal with this. I'll give you a little time. Excellence of spirit, because an excellent spirit was in him, produces purpose. Daniel was a man of purpose. Which means I will not eat the king's meat. No, you don't understand. You got to do whatever. Yeah, just give me a shot. You got to trust the God that trusts you. Excellent spirit produce purpose. If you're going to have an excellent spirit, you got to be a person of purpose. See, giving is done by purpose, not by need. That's why everybody's always trying to get more money. That's why there's so many needs. If God was moved by need, he'd never get out of Africa. He'd never get out of India. My God, there's more need than you can ever shake a stick at. He ain't moved by need. He never told you to finance poverty. Now, I'm going to say something going to make somebody mad. A lot of missions work is nothing but finance poverty. Nobody ever gets out. It's from year to year to year to year. Yet Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What message was the, they were saying, you don't have to be poor no more. I refuse to finance your poverty. I give you an anointing to eradicate it. Jesus. Do you see that? Now when you say, yeah, but, you're already defeated. The devil said, we ain't got to work today. They're going to defeat themselves. Let's stay home and just take a nap. Now what made him such a man? Excellent spirit produces purpose. Which means purpose is loyalty to Christ. Now let me deal with that right there. When a person has formed his purpose or her purpose, he is halfway to victory. Let me say it again. When a person has formed his purpose, he is halfway to victory. He will name it, announce it, and stand on it. Why? Because, you see, he knows where he's going, and he knows what he's going to do when he gets there. He's a person of purpose, which is loyal to the cause. The difference between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden is cause. Saddam don't have no cause. He's just greedy. Osama bin Laden is exactly like Saul of Tarsus. I'm going to kill everybody that's not Muslim. They're infidels. I'll kill them all. Don't that sound like Saul of Tarsus? I'll drag them out in the streets and kill their children. Why? He's got a cause. That boy could be probably the greatest preacher that the Muslim world has ever seen if he ever gets to know Jesus. Because in a turning, he'll go from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. Saddam ain't got no cause. He ain't even religious. He just wants some money and power. He's a serial killer. That's all he is. Osama is a multi-millionaire, but will sleep in a cave because of the cause. Do you see the difference? So excellence of spirit produces purpose, which is loyalty to Christ. When a person has formed his purpose, he is halfway to victory. He will name it, announce it, and stand on it. You see, everything I do, I name it. Why? I announce it. I stand because it produces the purpose that God's called me to do. Now, why should you have purpose? What made this boy have this Exodus spirit? He had purpose. And use the prime example. They said, listen, we're going to feed. He said, listen, just give me some vegetables. I mean, Dr. Cherry's ministry was being born right there. Dr. Cobra's ministry. He said, instead of eating all this greasy trash. Now, I do like cholesterol. I ain't going to lie about it. I do it. I love cholesterol. I don't like no broccoli. Give you gas. I like cholesterol. I like butter. I like Italiano. I like pasta. You know, I'm talking cholesterol. Fried chicken. Ain't no base or no broiled chicken. Ain't no diabetic. Want some fried chicken. Love that chicken from Popeye. Fried. Don't want no granola. That's a horse eat granola. Let me get a little funny. Help you out here. Want some eggs. Fried and greased. Floating on the top. Sausage. Biscuits. Butter. Gravy. Bacon. Lord! Cholesterol. Yeah, but it'll kill you. Yeah, but you'll die with a smile on your face. Think about it. Excellence, the spirit produces purpose, which is loyalty to Christ. So purpose, when you are a person of purpose, you're halfway to victory. You name it, you announce it, you stand on it. Now what does purpose do? Which makes that excellence spirit comes when a temptation, a test, or a trial comes. That's why God wants you to be a person of purpose. Purpose affords you anchorage in the time of storm. And also creates a base in the day of battle. Now, some of you are writing it down. Let me say it again. Purpose affords you anchorage in time of storms. And it also creates a base in the day of battle. He said, let me just eat. I'll eat. I promise me. Check me out, man. Let me die. Just give me some vegetables and stuff. And I promise you we'll look better than anybody else that's eating the king's meat. Now, why? Everybody want the king's meat. So that's the problem with ministry. They all want the king's meat, but it may have been offered to idols. That's why it's good to adopt the David principle. So you never eat anything that was offered to idols. Or quote, the world. Whatever that may be, spiritually, physically, or financially. So purpose affords you anchorage in the time of battle. Ooh, I love that. And also creates a base, or it creates a base in the day of battle, but anchorage in a time of storm. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just didn't take any. Because I had purpose in my life. I purposed in my life I would go on television. And how many of you watch my television show? You've never heard me say this. Won't you help me? Lord Jesus, help me. Help a brother. Come on, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I can even hoop it. You know, the Lord said, if you'll walk with me today, I want to let you know, Jesus. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. You know, I mean, you know, hey, I can preach it black, preach it white. I can preach it kind of way you want it. That ain't the issue. You've never heard me say, but I don't hear from you today. We're going off the air. Get off. I'll buy that time if you get off. Go away. Don't tell me God can do everything, but he can't help you. Now, I know he uses people. I got enough sense to know that. But you see, your motive is wrong. You're not a person of purpose. Because the battle comes. You got to understand, storms are out there. I live in hurricane country. We don't like them. Why do y'all live there? You would have to evacuate over 100 million people in America to get away from the coast, from Portland, Maine, all the way down to Miami, all the way around the Gulf Coast, all the way to Mexico and the Caribbean or Caribbean. But see, the problem is so many people praying against them storms and they're messing up the Weather Channel. Weather Channel say it's going to be going in the Biloxi. Oh, it just turned. You know what? That's them Christians say, no, Jesus. Send it to Houston. God never told you to pray against a storm. He told you to take authority over a storm. So we don't pray against hurricanes. We take authority over them. They have an eye. They have a name. Everything named bows at the name of Jesus, right? So Hurricane Emily, Hurricane Franklin, whatever, you know, whatever. Hurricane George, Hurricane Ivan. They call it Ivan the Terrible. You get people say, you know, we ain't had one in 40 years. It looked like we knew one. Shut up, you fool, for I'll slap you silly. Are you crazy? You have no idea what you're talking about. And if you've never been in one, you'll speak in tongues if you're a Baptist. I promise you that. If you're a black brother, you'll turn white. Tell you one thing, Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. When you got 140 mile sustained wind with tornadoes inside of them, that sucker's 300 miles across. Whoo! She's traveling at 10 to 12 miles an hour, so you got to add that too. But see, if you got purpose, it affords you anchorage. In the time of storm, creates a base in the day of battle. So we pray against, we don't pray against them, we take authority over them. How do you pray? How do you do that? I say, Lord, I come against Hurricane Emily. Because everything named has to bow in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, it has an eye. Poke its eye out. Poke its eye out. Because you poke that eye out, all the power goes. Command wind shear to cut the tops off. Command dry air to get in, which destroys the fuel. She thought all a hurricane is a heat machine. It's dispensing heat. That's all it is. You ever notice most of it, you don't know, if you ever been in one, you don't hardly ever see thunder or lightning. You know why? It's a tropical system. Gets its strength from the water. A thunderstorm gets its strength from cold air and hot air hit. And then you get hail. Actually, thunderstorms go up higher than hurricanes, storms. Them suckers get up 60, 70, 80,000 feet in the air. Major hurricane go up to about 30, 40,000 feet. That's it. Because it's getting all its strength from the water. You can preach against a hurricane. Cause you ever know, you can preach the gospel on a hurricane. Cause it looks for a weak place in the atmosphere to go in. It can't go against a high. Blocking high, won't touch it. You know why? Because it's a low. It's a low pressure. It can't go against high. So it looks for a little weak place to go in. And it just follows the weaknesses. Isn't that amazing? Poke its eye out. So we don't pray against them. We take authority over them. So excellent spirit produces purpose, loyalty. See, he was loyal to Jehovah. I will not eat the king's meat. That's loyalty. We'll kill you. Don't make a difference. I have an anchor. See, and he was a clean man. Now he's young. He's good looking. Girls like him. Right? King got girls on demand. Just call him up. Come over here, mama. Bring yourself over here. Bring your sister too. I got a couple of friends. You understand? It ain't personal. It's just business. I'm going to make you an offer. You don't refuse. Now, I want you to see this. He has to do what that king says. What are you saying? Purpose will not permit fleshly indulgences of any sort to rub the bloom from your spiritual life, weaken the nerve of your spiritual endeavor, or dim the vision of spiritual outlook. Now, that's what an excellent spirit is. That's this Daniel. See, he could have done all that, but he refused. Why? His purpose. Excellent spirit produced purpose. He was loyal to Jehovah. Which means purpose will not permit fleshly indulgences of any sort to rub the bloom from spiritual life. Or weaken the nerve of your spiritual endeavor. Or dim the vision of spiritual outlook. I had a man ask me not long ago, how long you been in ministry, Brother Jesse? I said, 20 years. 28 years. I said, full time. I said, how long you been saved? I said, I got saved in 1974. You ever committed adultery? I said, what'd you say? He said, you ever commit adultery? No. Did you have an opportunity to? Yeah, I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? I'm talking about girls. I could be their daddy. They think I got money. They right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy's money. I belong to her. That's what I work for. You understand? Why? Well, why won't you do that? I'm just as much man as anybody else in here, any other man. Well, I will not allow, because I'm a man of purpose, to live, be you holy. You can't be perfect in a moment, but you can be holy in a moment. I made up my mind I would not let that destroy or hurt me in the flesh. I won't let that. Purpose stops me from letting that destroy me. See, because I'm a man of purpose. When I permit fleshly indulgence of any sort to rub the bloom from spiritual life. I don't want to say I'm sorry. So if I don't do it, I won't have to say it. And if I did do it, I wouldn't have time to say it. Kathy'd kill me in a second. I wouldn't have a chance to repent. But die, sucker. Boom, boom. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. That'd be over with. I was born on the streets of New Orleans. You do what you gotta do. You see, when all them people in the 30s left Chicago, where you think they went? New Orleans. So purpose will not profit fleshly indulgence of any sort to rub the bloom from spiritual life or to weaken that nerve of spiritual endeavor or dim the vision of spiritual outlook. There's Daniel. You can find that in all he does because his spirit produces purpose. Well, if excellence of the spirit produces purpose, which is loyalty to his God or to Jesus, then excellence of spirit produces prayer. I will get a little homiletical today. It goes first from purpose. What made his excellent spirit was so wonderful, he was a man of purpose, but he also was a man of prayer. So if purpose is loyalty to Christ, then prayer is communion with Christ. What is prayer? Well, prayer in its true context is communication between man's weaknesses and God's power, between man's limitations and God's sufficiency. That's what prayer is. It's the language of God. Let me say it again. Prayer in its true context is communication between man's weaknesses and God's power, between man's limitations and God's sufficiency. If you've got limitations, stop praying. It will produce God's power. It will produce God's abundance. You tell him you're weak, he says, let the weak say I'm strong. You never heard God say, have you ever went up to God and he said, Jesus, I'm sick. He said, I'm sorry. Said that. He says, well, by my stripes, what are you talking to me for? Use the medicine. See my point? I'm trying, don't get nothing done. I didn't try to marry Kathy, I did. You didn't try to come to this meeting, you did. You'll have people say, did you go here, Brother Jesse, last night? We tried. That's why they're not here. You don't try to do anything. He said, be ye a doer, not a trier. So prayer in its true context is communication between man's weaknesses, God's power, between man's limitations and God's sufficiency. God is sufficient. Well, what does prayer do? It shows you your life begins in the spiritual. And from that center, you govern the material. Every time I need something material, I start in the spiritual. Because see, that's where I'm governed at. In the spiritual, where it produces my material. Prayer shows me, not God. I'm the one that needs to know this, not God. That's excellence of spirit. Produces purpose, and excellence of spirit produces prayer. Daniel was a man of purpose. When I eat the king's meat, I will be a man of prayer. I'm going to pray even though they put me in the lion's den. I don't care. Because that's my communication between God. I'm giving him my weaknesses. He's giving me his strengths. I'm showing him my limits. He's showing me his sufficiency. You see that? Is this good tonight or what? I'll throw some humor in there, but it's time you receive. This is the year of overflow. You know what God told me, Rob? He said, if you can contain Jesse Duplantis, what I'm going to do this year, then you're not in overflow. He said, God, Jesse, I don't fill a cup. I run it over. I wrote a book in 1992. It's one of the best books I ever wrote, but it didn't go over too good. Now it's really selling like crazy. Title was this, God's not enough. He too much. He got too much grace, too much mercy. You know he's going to save somebody you don't like. You know he's going to do it. He's too much. They said, oh, that's just too strong. 1992. Boy, they love that now. 2005. Woo! Why? Because they're able to receive it. Excellence of spirit produces purpose. Excellence of spirit produces prayer. So prayer shows you your life begins in the spiritual. And from that center, you govern the material. That's exactly what he did. He was a man of prayer. And then out of that prayer closet, he would walk and come tell the king, Darius, Belshazzar, you've been found in the balances and you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. But see, he did that, he was praying before he ever got there. That spiritual concept produced the material part of his life. Because he had an excellent spirit. Now, brother, I'm going to say, all of you have that, especially when you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you know how much revelation, understanding you got? Do you know Jesus said this? I would like to have spoken to you, but I cannot because you're not able to receive it. But when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you. You know what that means? Since that we're in this New Testament church today, I say, Holy Spirit, tell me what Jesus couldn't tell those people, because I am able to hear it. Isn't that good? Tell me what Jesus couldn't tell them because they could not bear it or hear it. But He said, you would tell me because we can receive it. Man, you can get an answer to any complicated question. Oh, I wish. I hear some of these preachers going, Larry King, I don't know. What about it? I don't know. Well, you never know. And I want to say, fool, invite me. I know. That sounds arrogant, doesn't it? Oh, it sounds No, they don't know how to answer it. They're trying to be politically correct. You can't be politically correct. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. You got to speak the word of God the way it is. And let the rubber, where the rubber meets the road. Instead of trying to protect yourself. I'm not talking about judgment against people. I'm talking about answering. Saying what's supposed to be said. Well, if excellent spirit produces purpose, which is loyalty to Christ, and excellent spirit produces prayer, which is communion in Christ, then excellence of spirit produces perception, which is submission to Christ. Now you begin to perceive things. This man perceived. He could look at the handwriting on the wall and he perceived. O King, if you listen to me, thus, thus, and thus will happen. So, that's what an excellent spirit, that's what Darius is seeing in this boy. This boy's got purpose. This boy's got prayer. This boy's got perception. He's loyal to God. He's communing with God. And he's submitted to God. What does that mean? Perception will produce a growing keenness of insight. I love that. Sensitiveness of soul. And a keen vision in the crisis of life. See, perception. For thus saith the Lord. See, when you begin to understand that He's not promising but prophesying, and prophecy is history wrote in advance, then you perceive. Paul looked at a man and said, I perceive that you have faith. Jesus said, I perceive. He comes to this pool of Bethesda. He said, you want to get here? Well, I ain't got nobody to pick me up when the angel come to trouble the water. Now he's dealing with someone who's greater than an angel. He's dealing with the person that created the angel. Jesus perceived that he could receive that. Now you see, when people can't perceive it, they need to try to teach it to, or try to get them to get it, because it won't work. See, a lot of salvations was done to make, people got people to the altar because they're guilty, make them feel guilty, make them feel like a piece of trash. And they get saved for 2 weeks. Then here come all that temptation. I go, man, I can't live like this. I make people mad. They write me letters. I say, you know, I don't sin every day. They go. I said, I go long periods of time without sinning. Because we've heard all our quote religious lies. You sin every day. Well, I don't. If you sin every day, you're a sinner. The Bible said we've all sinned. That's true. But we're not all sinners. You ever thought about, where's this blood of Jesus? Where's all these things? Where's all this power to keep us right? So I have enough guts just to say, you know why I said it? Because I perceived it. It brought an insight to me. I said, the Lord told me a statement one time. He said, you know, I'm not as hard on people as people are. He said, people kill you the second, Jesse. He said, I couldn't go to funerals. I mess them up. I'm trying to raise people from the dead. I ain't trying to kill them. He said, I'm emptying graveyards, not filling them. Yeah. Listen to it. That's perception. See, Daniel could perceive what the king needed so the king would never have damage. That's an excellent spirit. It's producing purpose, it's producing prayer, and it's producing perception. What is that perception? Perception will produce a growing keenness of insight, sensitiveness of soul, a keen vision in the crisis of life. I mean, you can see when no one else can see. That's perception. A clarity of vision will enable you to accomplish the divine work allotted to you. So you got to have clarity of vision. Now, once you have it, you don't stop there. Then you got to make the vision plain. And he said, make the budget plain. I told that to Kendall Copeland years ago. I said, budgets cost you something. Vision bring you something. He goes, my God, just us revelation. Yeah. People don't like budgets. That's limitations. We're going to receive an offering for the expenses of the meeting. All right, let me give him a dollar. but you get up like Pastor Rob did and says, Gabriel called. I saw y'all go. Yeah, it costs. It costs a lot of money. That's not, everybody knows that. You already know that. What is that about? That's vision. Budget costs you something. Vision brings you something. I never deal with budgets, even though I have one. I serve a Jewish God. I mean, I got to have one. I mean, he don't pay retail, neither does Jesse. I ain't doing that. I'm a businessman. I'm serious. I can be about that. Serious. Oh, right. I have a budget, but what good is it to tell you? I tell you the vision. Why? A clarity of vision will enable you to accomplish the divine work allotted to you. You got to understand what God told you to do. It's not just work. It's a divine work. It's his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that's excellence of spirit. Excellence of spirit produces purpose, all to the Christ. Excellence of spirit produces prayer, communication with Christ. Excellence of spirit produces perception, submission to Christ. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. Now purpose and prayer tell you the cause. There's a cause for that. And then finally, excellence of spirit produces power. Well, if excellence of spirit produces purpose, which is lauded to Christ. An excellent spirit produces prayer, which is communication or communion with Christ. An excellent spirit produces perception, which is submission to Christ. Then excellent of spirit produces power, which is cooperation with Christ. Purpose, prayer, perception, power. Power. The power comes because of the perception, because of the prayer, and because of the purpose. That's the end result. Now you in cooperation with God. This man had power. When he said something, you could take it to the bank. Even Belshazzar, who didn't remember the boy. But the old queen came in, Nebuchadnezzar's wife or whoever she was. Well, there is a man. He's still here. He's 92. Ain't nobody can read this. You know why? They didn't invite him to the meeting. They didn't invite him to the banquet. He's not politically correct. Oh, but one day you're going to get your invite. Because you're the only one that can read that handwriting on that wall. And let me tell you, people watching my television, you may not like me, but one day you're going to invite me. You don't need me now, but the day is coming when you will. That's a fact. They didn't invite him. He wasn't there. They had to go get the old man. He's in the religion. No, there ain't nobody can get no handwriting on the wall. He's not for sale. He's loyal to Christ. He's a man of purpose. He's communion with Christ. He's a man of prayer. He's submitted to Christ. He's a man of perception. He has power with Christ. He's a man of power. Purpose, prayer, perception, and power constitute an excellent spirit. Now watch this. The world we are living in is looking for people, very important, who is superior to power instead of driven by it. You know why ministries mess up? Why politicians mess up? They're driven by power instead of being superior to it. Just because you got the power don't mean you got to use it. You see, you must be superior to it instead of driven by it. That's why people mess up. They ask President Clinton, why'd you mess with that girl? Because I could. Remember him saying that? I'm not being critical. Remember him saying that? And I've been praying for him. He had problems with his body. I mean, a lot of people do wrong things. He just happened to be the president of the United States. Now, why did he do that? Why? He was not superior to that power. He was driven by it. Why did Nixon mess up? All he had to do is say, somebody broke into this Watergate mess. This is a bunch of junk and I'm going to find me a bunch of people. And this is wrong. Why didn't he do it? He was driven by that power and instead of superior to it. Now, Jesus had the same opportunities as Nixon and Clinton. What? They said, we're going to kill you. Watch this. He said, don't you know I can call more than 12 legions of angels to take care of this situation? You want to dance with me? You want to dance with me? You want to go to war with me? Now, one angel in the Bible knocked down 185,000 men. One. 12 legions would have took out 20 billion, 400 million men, and the world has never known that kind of population. Why didn't Jesus do it? Because he was superior to that power instead of driven by it. For this cause, I came into the world. We're going to kill you. I'll be back in 3 days. 3 days. Woo! Now, he could have took care of this. I'll show you his power when it came to arrest him. They say, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said this, I am he. Bam! They all hit the ground. Go read your Bible. Boom! Fell on the ground. Good God. Jesus looking around. Can you imagine that? But he was superior to power. Why haven't you committed those things like adultery and fornication? Superior to it instead of driven by it. Don't see a woman as a sexual object to be conquered. This is a person with a brain who can think. And all you can see is parts. Let me give you a revelation. Parts wear out. It's a fact. It's a fact. Some of you young people, you think that girl's pretty? Oh, yeah, man. See the fox, man. Think that boy's a hunk. Huh? Oh, yeah. Let me give you some revelation. Take pictures. Because it's going to fall down. It's going to hit the ground, buddy. That's a fact. But so what? Who cares? You didn't marry her body or his. You married her or him. You see these glasses? Let me tell you somebody, these things as you get old, these things are great. Because you look at your wife to tell you something, mama. Woo! You look as good today as when I first, Lord, Jesus, let me put that down. You look as good today when I first saw you. It's true, boy. Now, I know young people don't believe that. Oh, you got a revelation coming. You're going to say, bye, honey, in the bottom of your arm going to be a flopper. I'm going to get all that cellulite all over you. Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Does it make my butt look big? Lord, do you see any bumps? You know, that cellulite, what do you call that cellulite? Look kind of bumpy. Do you see any bump? Oh, no, just a little hail damage. Kind of looks like hail damage, don't it? But we'll bond over that. We'll fix all that. We'll put some bond on that. We'll fix all that. Don't worry about that. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference. Why? Because your marriage is a communion of excellence. It has purpose. It has prayer. It has perception. It has power. Why? Because you and God are in a marital contract. What do you think marriage is? Want a great marriage? Have purpose in it. Have prayer in it. Have perception in it. Have power in it. So the world is looking for people who are superior to power instead of driven by it. That's a phenomenal statement. Now, when you have that ability, which you do because you have an excellent spirit in you, power will cause you to see the issues. You can fix it. See, that's why Gabriel calls coming to you. That power that you believe for can fix that issue. Makes you see the issues, understand the virtues, and enable you to say no when the moment comes. You have to have the ability to say no. Even though it looks like this is what God wants me to have. You must be superior to that. Instead of driven by it. That's what David said to Aranor. Thank you, Aranor. You're nice. You can give it to me. No, I will not offer God something that doesn't cost me something. Now, don't take that out of context and say, "Well, I can't receive anything." No, now you're running across the road. You're going to hit the wall. No, you're getting overbalanced here. No, you need to receive. There are times to receive, but there are going to be some times when you will say, "No, thank you. Today is my blessing day." You have to have that ability. So, excellence of spirit produces purpose in prayer, which tells us the cause, and perception and power describe the effect. Everything you do must have cause and effect. Purpose in prayer, cause, perception and power, effect. That's application. Because if it's not applied, I don't care what you do, it ain't going to work. Cause and effect, everything. For God so loved the world. David couldn't understand why everybody was freaking out over Goliath. He says it. He's 17-year-old, pimples on his face, he's a kid. He just went down there to bring some cheese to his brothers. Some cholesterol. Some high-fat stuff. He jumped. He said, "What's the matter with this uncircumcised person? Is there not a cause?" See, you don't have to be saved 400 years to understand the cause. Is there not a cause? See, people forget the cause. And if you forget the cause, you're not going to have any effect. So that's what Darius saw in this slave kid. I'm going to put him all over my whole kingdom. Because he's got purpose, he's got prayer, he's got perception, he's got power. That boy is excellent. And then three other friends of his are just as good. Now, when you have that, get ready for attacks from the same people that you're in with. Who do he think he is? I love God as much as he do. I don't know. I don't have what he has. Maybe you're not doing what he do. It's like one lady told me one time. She said, "Oh, you dressed at the planets." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Is that your plane?" I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Is that your jet?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." "I don't think you ought to have it." I said, "I don't think I asked you. Did I ask you?" "No, I'm not a pastor." She said, "What?" I said, "Did I ask you? Did I ask you?" "Well, I don't think preachers ought to have it. I don't. Well, she's mad then. And she's kind of stuttering. I'm trying to do like she did. I don't think people in ministry ought to have it." I said, "What religion are you?" She said, "Well," I said, "What religion are you?" She said, "I'm Catholic." I said, "Your preacher got a plane." She said, "What?" I said, "The Pope got a bigger plane than me. The Pope can bring everybody he want." I said, "You hate the Pope?" "No, I don't hate the Pope." I said, "I'm going to Rome. I'm going to tell him you don't like his plane." Pope got a plane. What is the Pope doing? Ministering the gospel. What is Jesse the Plans doing? Ministering the gospel. What's your problem? She said, "Look." I said, "Well, you don't like the Pope?" "Yeah." I said, "He got a bigger plane than I got. Better one than I have. And I'm glad for it. Needs it." This is Pope John that said before he passed away. "Doing a great work. Mad at him?" She said, "But that's, I'm sorry." I said, "You sure are. You sorry. But I forgive you." I shouldn't have done it, but I couldn't help myself. And the Lord said, "Jesse," I said, "I know I got a little hard on." He said, "I was about to do it myself." You know, she's now one of my partners. Supports me financially. She just needed an understanding. And that was probably my fault by not explaining it. I'm not just saying it's all. I'm not mad at her. But she caught me off guard. "What you want, woman?" Excellence of spirit. "Well, I don't think y'all ought to have..." "Well, you haven't invited me to the banquet, but your day's coming. My invitation's coming. You're going to need me at that banquet one day." So all you ministers out there, and they're all calling you a piece of trash. Maybe here you're in your community, they don't think much of you in your church. "Oh, wait, the day is coming." Handwriting on the wall. "You're not invited now, but you will be invited." Because you're the only one to read that writing. It's coming. Now, don't get prideful about that. Be superior to it. And don't use it to hurt someone, but be honest enough to say, you've been waiting to balance and find one. This night, will your kingship, your government be required of you? I paraphrase that. And certainly, that's exactly what happened. Then do you know what happened? They go in there and kill a bunch of people. They don't even know who this guy is, but his reputation is already known by the Medes and the Persians. Right? They put him in the government. That bar couldn't go down to save his soul. Why? Overflow. Overflow. Excellence of spirit. Now let me say this and close. This is my first closing. Man asked me the other day, I thought it was a viable question. But Jesse, I said, yes, sir. Are you a tither? Yeah, I've been tithing since the day I got saved. Well, I don't know if that's in the New Testament. I said, do you have one? He said, yes, I do. I said, have you read it? He said, yeah. I said, no, you didn't answer my question. Did you read the New Testament? From Matthew to Revelation? Well, no, I haven't read the whole lot. I said, well, that's your problem. I said, do you lose things easily? I said, have you struggled a little bit? Well, yeah. I said, I understand. I said, your problem is your tithing. He said, well, Malachi 3:10 says. I said, well, quote it to me. He said, bring. I said, that's all you know is bring? I said, I saw as far as you got on tithing was bring, and you didn't like that word. See, that's responsibility. I don't want that responsibility. I said, let me quote it for you. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that they've been meeting in my house. Yeah, that's right. I said, go. I said, what else it says? I said, let me help you. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that have been meeting in my house. Prove me now, here saith the Lord of hosts. And what you're asking for is proof. Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven. Right? Yeah. Pour you out a blessing. Ooh. There shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, let's be honest. How many of you people have room to receive and you're a tither? Oh, yeah, be honest. Now, that shouldn't be. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There be meat in mine house. Prove me now, here saith the Lord of hosts, if I not open up the windows of heaven. Watch this. Pour you out a blessing or empower to prosper you. There shall not be room enough to receive it. And a lot of you that are tithers, lift your hand up and say, I got a lot of room. Yeah, vacancy everywhere in my place. Maybe you saw that as a promise instead of a prophecy. Maybe you're not believing that the way God believes that. Now watch this. Do you only know why God put tithing in the Bible, Mike? The only reason why? He don't need your money. On your best day, you can't impress God with your wealth. You got gold streets. You got asphalt streets, holes in them this big. It ain't gonna work. You ain't gonna treat you. You talking El Shaddai here. Do you think he needs anything? You got you living in a dream world. He ain't. My Lord, you're only living on one planet in a galaxy called the Milky Way, which is 100 billion planet, moons, and stars, and what we know of in the Milky Way, with 100 billion galaxies, with 100 billion planet, moons, and stars, and each one of them, that's the only ones we know of, and every time we're constantly seeing more and more, and he owns the universe, and you think he need your $5? Now, why did he put tithing in there? Let's just put two and two and come up together four. Why? So you would have overflow. So there would not be no room enough to receive it. It never fills, the cup runs it over. He's trying to get more to you can take. But if you can't receive it, you can't have any of it. Well, and if you give your tithing, it's not your tithe to start with. In fact, you ain't give him nothing yet of yours. So I told this guy, I said, I bet a lot of things don't last long for you, do you? He said, you know, that's true. I said, I bet your cars break down pretty much, huh? I said, I bet you have air conditioning problems and refrigerator problems and freezer problems, all that kind of stuff. You know, stuff's always breaking down, right? He said, how'd you know that? I said, because you're not a tither. I said, tithing, you can preach this, Pastor. Tithing protects your assets. How you know that? Because
Malachi 3:11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The devil ain't getting none of God's goods. He's trying to get yours. I'm a tither. My stuff don't wear out. I got to throw it away. I got an air conditioner. It's over 18 years old. And the air conditioner guy calls me every year. He said, how's that air conditioner run? I said, it's running for it. I can't believe I put that thing in there. It ain't supposed to last that long. He's a Baptist boy. He said, how come yours lasts so long? I said, I'm a tither. He said, I see you later, Reverend. You have a great day. God bless you. Tithing protects your assets. Then the other day, the Lord rebuked me, Rob, just shut me down. I'm about ready to go to a federal court. If we believe in separation, church and state, just stay out my business. Now, you want to go to war with me? We'll go to war. I'll take it to the Supreme Court. Because I got a constitution. Now fight, we're going to fight, we do whatever. And then we got a 9 of them over there, they're pretty so old, they don't even know the 10 commandments behind their head. They can't turn around and look. Good Lord. And they're mad at somebody won't think come out. Look behind your head, fool. It's right behind your head. Tithe and protect your assets. So, I'll set a court precedent if I have to. Because it's going to separation. If you want to be separate, go your way and go mine. Ain't nothing wrong. It's not the issue. But they want to, well, no, you don't come into God's business unless you're a Christian. You know the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with him. I'm just saying, so they don't know what to do with me. Why? Because what the government hates is a word called no. Because you see, they forgot that the government is you. We the people of the United States, in order to perform a more perfect union, establish and justice. You know what I'm talking about. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Excuse me. But see, the reason why people can't fight nothing, because they don't have none of this. But Jesse got this. And I don't mean that arrogantly or pridefully. The issue is this. Wait a minute. This is what they respect. They don't respect me. They don't respect, they respect this. So, I said, I promise you, we're going to spend a lot of money, and you're going to run out, but I'm not. I'm serious I can be about that. Why? Who's behind me? El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sid Canute. Reverend, let's talk. It's amazing what a federal lawsuit will do to this one. I ain't going to do it in state court, but a federal judge, he's elected for life. He ain't for sale. So when you understand that, I said, I will not allow the devil to rebuke or to steal my assets. So the other day I was a little irritated. Let me get to that story. So I said, devil, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord said, what you doing, Jesse Duplant? So I'm rebuking the devil. He said, that's not your job. He said, you a tither. That's my job to rebuke the devil for you. I said, well, do your thing. And God said, devil, get away from Jesse. And we settled that thing. I don't even have to rebuke the devil because he rebukes the devil for my sake because I'm a tither and because tithing protects my assets. Somebody shout, will you? See? And you thought it was a money thing. It's not. It's an obedient thing. Prosperity, not a money message. Some people preach it as a money message. I know that. But it's not. It's an obedience message. When you obey, God blesses you. You know, it don't obey. Obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience. Takes 3 letters to mess it up. D-I-S. Disobedience. Everybody say promise.
Promise.
Takes 3 letters to mess it up. C-O-M. .com. Don't take much of it. Didn't Jesus say a little leaven the whole lump? But if you have action as a spirit, purpose, loyalty to Christ, prayer, communion with Christ, perception, submission to Christ, power, cooperation with Christ, purpose and prayer, tell the cause. Perception and power describe the effect. you will be effective in all that you set your hand to do. See, you got to understand what your money is. It's just a key to unlock a door and a window. You get hit with so much, you go, but he says, I'm not there yet. I know you're not there yet, but you ain't dead yet neither. This is my second closing. There's a four-letter word, and you know a lot of four-letter words. Right? For some reason, a four-letter word sticks in people's minds. And the devil uses a four-letter word to shut down Christians more than anything else. And it's not faith, because faith is a five-letter word. F-A-I-T-A, so it's not that. What is he shutting you down with? A four-letter word. T-I-M-E. Time. He said, if I can delay this, he'll say it's not true. That's why God said, having done all to stand. This stand. What you doing? Stand. Don't look like nothing happened. Ain't moved but what I see. Been moved but I believe. Are you nervous? No. Well, what are you doing? Standing. Why? Because he said it. Yeah, but it sounds dumb. I know. Well, you going to do anything about it? Yeah. What are you going to do? Stand. See? So I realized that I'm in business with God. Pretty good partner. Pretty good part. His will be done. Then I began to really research my life. My last closing. And I found out that my will is His will. That I have lost myself. I died. Because it's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my mind, but by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. And He gave Himself for me. So I don't frustrate the grace of God. I got to tell you one more funny thing. This happened the other day. Kid walked up to me. I called him a kid, young man. Boy, Jesse. I said, yes, sir. I'm going to quit my job. And I'm going to live by faith. I said, come here, boy. If your faith doesn't work with the job, what makes you think your faith is going to work without a job? You're going to starve to death, fool. And the Lord gave me a sermon. He said, I want you to preach on the spirit of stupid. That's the spirit of stupid come up on that man. We had a lady call our office one time. She said, you need to divorce Kathy and marry me. I said, girl, you got the spirit of stupid on you. That's the spirit of stupid on you, boy. Spirit of stupid. Just downright stupid. People do some stupid things. I'm going to quit my job and live by faith. You're going to lose weight. That's the spirit of stupid on you. If you think that you're cutting back, eating Krispy Kreme donuts and skim milk, the spirit of stupid is on you. You got the spirit of stupid on you, man. And mister, if you think you own that house, you got the spirit of stupid on you. That woman owns all. All you got is a garbage can. That's why you take it to the road. It's her house. It's her bed. I've said this here before. I got to say it. I'm going to make you laugh. I'm going to leave you with a great laugh. I really believe right before God created Adam and Eve, God had just finished creating cats and dogs. God is my witness. Now, you can't prove it's true. I can't prove it's not. So here it is. He just finished creating cats and dogs. And then He started creating Adam and Eve. Because men act like dogs and women act like cats. Is that the truth? Men are always barking. Hur, 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 hur. Women like cats. And hey, and you can't touch a cat till a cat's ready. That's a fact. That's a fact. You go to try to touch a cat. Oh.
But notice, you can hug a dog anytime you want. It's the truth. Now, why do you come up with this? I don't know. I saw two dogs and a cat. Boy, you try to touch a cat. Wow. But you can hug a dog anytime. That's a man, boy. But all of a sudden, that cat just get a revelation. Start walking over to you. Kind of slow look at you. Give me that look. And that dog go, is that the truth? Did you enjoy it tonight?